coming from a state of neutrality allows you to still say like, okay, maybe I do want to go to the gym and hit a certain physique goal. Maybe I do want to get lip fillers or whatever it is that you want to do, but you're getting it from, again, like a place of being already whole, like a place of neutrality. You're not chasing after these things in order to feel good about yourself. You're able to have like this whole juicy, turned on person inside of you. And then you can do whatever you do or don't want to do to your external. And you, it's okay to own that you do have aesthetic goals or that you do want to look a certain way. That's okay, as long as your turn on isn't dependent on that.
Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach. All right, you guys, welcome back to the Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators podcast. Today we have a special guest, Bella, and she is a sensual embodiment coach who helps women get out of their head and turn themselves on so that they can increase their libido and have bomb ass sex. And I'm so excited for you to join me today to talk about self-seduction. This is something that I actively do, turning myself on, seducing myself. This is something you talk about a lot on social media as well. And it's so fucking juicy and so important to learn how to do it and learn what it is. So I would love to just start with like an open conversation of like, what does self-seduction mean to you?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So self-seduction, like you said, is the juiciest thing ever. To me, it's being your own source of turn-on, because the patriarchy has told us that, you know, sex is just for men and, oh, he should do everything to turn you on. If you're not satisfied in bed, oh, well, men just suck in bed. And it's like, no, you're the source. Like, it's the same thing with self-love. If you can't love yourself, it does not matter what the fuck someone else is doing if you're not loving yourself first. And so self-seduction is being able to meet yourself with the kind of turn-on and pleasure that you desire from others. And you're creating that. You're the source of that. And you're able to take yourself from, I mean, in more of like, scientific or like, what's the word? Quantifiable way. You're taking yourself from a state of neutrality all the way into a state of turn on and pleasure and knowing what your body needs to get into that really sensual orgasmic state.
That's so fucking juicy. What I'm hearing here is that it's really about owning our orgasm and owning our like sexual experiences and taking the control back and not giving that control to somebody else either.
Yeah, exactly. And it's everything like knowing how to take yourself through that whole sexual experience. So like taking it a step back, not just learning what you like in bed, but also learning how to really activate your turn on. Like on a day when you're not feeling in the mood, what gets you super turned on or what gets you feeling safe enough to have sex? So it's like learning what your body needs throughout that whole step of the process from getting turned on all the way up into having the best orgasms of your life.
And I think it's also important to note that like self-seduction does not require a partner. This is something you can do alone, but this is also something you can do as part of like a self-pleasure practice as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think the word should is perfect in this circumstance because self-seduction is something that you really, you have to do it by yourself. You have to do it without a partner because that's when you get to see who you are. I don't care how comfortable you are with a partner. You get to see who you are without any external influences. Even if it's an influence from someone that you really love, you want to know who you are sexually when it's just you. Like, what do you need by yourself?
What are some of the results that you have seen with women when it comes to their increase in self-seduction and maybe like their confidence and their empowerment? Like, what changes?
Oh my gosh. So the first thing is they release a lot of shame around their sexual energy. So what a lot of the women that come to me have at least some layer of shame, if not a lot of shame, that like women shouldn't be sexual or they grew up with that belief. And so they feel really empowered releasing that shame and also seeing themselves as a sexy person or as a sensual person, because so many clients see themselves as like masculine or not womanly, or like, yeah, people can have sex, but I'm just not one of those people that's really sensual. And so they see themselves in a sensual light. And then a little bit later on, they start to have a really big increase in their libido and their desire for sex, which we love. And then that opens the door for all of this sexual exploration, because they have the shame release, they view themselves as a sensual person, they have a higher libido. And so now that opens the door for all of this exploration.
What is like your favorite way to do self-seduction?
Oh, so there are literally so many ways, and this isn't the single truth, but for me, this has worked so well. So the pillars of embodiment that I teach are breath, movement, sound, and touch. And so I take my clients through learning what feels good to them in each of those categories. What kind of breath turns you on or makes you feel safe? What kind of sounding? Maybe they need to like growl or moan or hum or whatever. Breath and sound, from my experience, are more so getting you to feel safe, right? So breathing, stimulating that vagus nerve, and then the movement and the touch are really what takes you into that state of turn on. So learning how to move their hips, learning what kinds of movements turn their body on, exploring self-touch and learning what kind of touch every single part of their body needs. So that's my most simple way to put it. And then sometimes we get into mirror work, like looking at yourself in the mirror. But I personally love to teach this first without a mirror, because for me, I got too caught up in like the way that I was looking before doing the work of like exploring my internal sensation. So I like to do it without looking first. And then once you feel really turned on from the inside out, then we can look in the mirror.
Ooh, I love that. For me, I love doing dance and sensual movement for self-seduction. Like that's one of my favorite things. Literally, I was texting you earlier, like I just went to a twerk class today. And it's all about like touching yourself and feeling good and shaking your ass and looking good. But I can totally see how like when you have a mirror, you kind of get into that performative state for yourself. One thing, I actually recently did a workshop here in San Diego and we went through some sensual movement. And it was so fucking juicy. Like so many women had breakthroughs while they were at the full moon event. And I made them all wear blindfolds so that they weren't able to see each other. They weren't worried about anybody looking at them, observing them. Like it was very internal. And I think that a blindfold can really help you tap into like, how does your body want to move so that you're not being performative, even if you are performing for yourself.
Yes, that is so huge. So I'm curious, when you started doing sensual movement, sensual embodiment, how did you start that out? Was it like through pole classes? Was it through, like you said, blindfolding yourself? And then how did that progress as you got more comfortable with it?
So this is a super juicy story. When I was in PA school, I came across this Groupon for a twerk class. And I was like, I love to shake my ass. Like this sounds great. Let me go. So I signed up for this twerk class every Thursday for like 3 years straight. I went. I, at that point in my life, was at a very low, like the lowest low. PA school drained me from everything. I was in a really shitty relationship and I had lost all of my identity. And so going to twerk class was actually a way to build my confidence and feel good in my own body. So then that continued to progress, did some pole classes in there. And it really started maybe like 3 years ago or so when I started learning about like sensual embodiment and really just moving and feeling good for myself and not necessarily like following an instructor or following somebody. It was just like, what does my body want to do? How does it want to move? How do I want to shake? How do I want to touch myself? And so long story short, it's more within the last couple of years that it's more gone for that self-seduction side, but it started to build my confidence.
Yes. You know what? I love that. I actually had a similar, well, kind of story with pole where I started. At first, it was more so an empowerment thing. And I always tell people like dancing and embodiment aren't always the same. Like if you're taking a pole class, like you can feel really empowered, But then that piece of like feeling safe in your body or increasing your libido, like that can sometimes not be there because for me, it was performative. Like I was focused on how I looked, and that's not a bad thing because at the time didn't feel empowered before. So I felt really fucking empowered after pole. But then I realized, I'm like, wow, I'm watching these videos. I'm like, I look so sexy, but I don't feel on the inside. I don't feel that person that I'm looking at. Like I feel like it's an external, the same thing when you feel like you look really good, but then you're hollow on the inside. So I was like, where is that internal sexiness? And so that's what sparked my curiosity to go on my embodiment journey. I was like, wow, I'm like this pole goddess and everyone views me as really sensual because of the way that I dance, but I'm still having panic attacks during sex. I still have no libido. I still am not satisfied in the bedroom. So I wanted to fill that gap and feel really sensual on the inside. So that's what started it for me.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. You mentioned libido. How does self-seduction improve your libido?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So many studies, as you know, that show that the way you view your body and the way that you view yourself as a sexual being impacts not only your sex drive, but your body's physical ability to get aroused and like have an orgasm. So like the way that you just in viewing yourself that way and releasing that shame that gives you more permission to feel turned on. But it's also like the safety in your body aspect is the biggest thing for myself and for a lot of the women that I work with, because I work with women that are type A and very stressed out. And so we don't naturally feel very safe in our bodies because we're always doing shit all of the time. So it's really that piece of like taking your foot off of the brakes, right? So releasing the brakes by feeling safe in your body. And then after releasing the brakes, pressing that accelerator and doing the things that turn you on and activating your responsive desire, honestly. So spontaneous desire is where you just get horny out of nowhere. You're like doing the dishes and you're like, oh shit, I'm turned on. And that's the one that our society knows about. Then responsive desire is where you get turned on in response to something that is pleasurable or something sexual. So maybe you're not in the mood, but then someone gives you a massage and then you start to feel turned on. Or maybe you're not in the mood, but in the case of embodiment, you start to move your hips and like touch your breasts or something like that. And then you feel turned on. So it's your body getting turned on in response to some sort of sexual stimulation that does not have to be physical either. It can be hearing audio porn. It can be anything really, anything really random. But yeah, that's what responsive desire is. And so sensual embodiment is really about cultivating that responsive desire. And of course, we explore it through external things like erotica, audio porn, regular ethical porn, all of that. But the main thing that we do is self-source it. So what activates your responsive desire just through your own body, your own movement, your own touch? And then what we find is, of course, the more you activate your responsive desire, the more you self-pleasure, the more you have sex, and then that compounds and builds into more spontaneous desire.
Yes. And I think it's also important to mention too that so many women have responsive desire. Yeah. And there's this huge misconception that if we don't have spontaneous desire, we're not normal. Something's wrong with us. Right. But the reality is that majority of women have responsive desire. And so finding a way to turn yourself on, not relying on somebody else to turn you on, can be really, really important for your own sexual experience, but then also for partnered experiences as well.
Yes. Oh my gosh. And I have my own theories about like, yes, I do think that of course, biologically women are like, we're more receptive, we're made to be pursued. But also like, aside from that, if you look at the way that our world is shaped, like there's so many, everything targets men's responsive desire, right? Like there's ads of like girls with their titties out for like some random, you know what I mean? Like everything is targeting men's responsive desire. And we live in a world that intentionally shuts down women's desires. Like, of course we need that responsive desire of like, okay, it's safe to be sexual now. And I always wonder how it would play out if our world was equally just supportive of women's pleasure. Like, I do think that women still naturally have a little bit more responsive, but also we have to cultivate that safety to feel sexual in a world that doesn't give us that safety.
Yes. How do you use this in partnership? So if you were going to do some self-seduction, some sensual movement, turn yourself on, how would you utilize this with a partner?
So, I mean, of course, you could always, like, if you're scheduling intimacy, which is something that I really love to do with clients, if they're open to it, you could always set aside even just 10 minutes or even 5 minutes to move your hips, touch your body beforehand. But you can also ask yourself, okay, why do these things turn me on in my embodiment practice? Like, for example, why does this certain kind of touch turn me on? Or why does this movement of my hips turn me on? And then see how you can get that from a partner. So if you want to include them in it, I mean, of course, you could always like move for them, dance for them, give them a lap dance. Like, that's super fun. You could also have them touch your body in the way that you've discovered that you like it. Or maybe you realize that during your embodiment practice, the most important thing is relaxation. So how can you bring that aspect of relaxation in with your partner? So it really is identifying why you like X, Y, and Z during your embodiment practice, and then getting that same thing from your partner or replicating it in a different way. So maybe it's the dancing that turns you on. Okay, cool. Dance for them. Give them a lap dance. Maybe it's the touch. Maybe it's the relaxation. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. Are you ready to start understanding yourself better, learning and recognizing your patterns, and really develop a relationship with yourself? If this sounds like you, the Unleashing My Power, a Women's Empowerment and Gratitude Journal is for you. This journal was specifically curated for women just like you to help you take back your power and develop and go to the next level in life. My friend Danielle and I created this journal because of our own experiences and what we were looking for in a daily practice to improve our connection to self and really become connected with ourselves. This is game-changing, and the feedback that we are getting from other women who have started using this journal is absolutely amazing. You can find it on Amazon, or you can go to jordandanelle.com/journal, and it'll take you right there. I hope you enjoy. Be sure to go snag yours right away and leave me a review. Tell us what you think about it. Slide in the DMs. I know that your life will change when you start using this journal. So one thing that comes to mind when you say this is that this is such an important tool for learning what we like as well. Because if you don't know what you like, you can't ask for that from a partner. They're not mind readers. And so this can help you say, like, hey, I need relaxation before having sexual experiences. And it would really help me if we just maybe sat on the couch and connected and maybe did breath work together, or maybe just like relaxed before we rush into anything. Or, you know, discovering like how you want to be touched, you know, like not many people have really sat down and played with different types of touch, have played with different areas of touch on their body. So often we go straight to our clitoris during self-pleasure, and it's just like right to our clitoris, let's get the job done. But there's so many other areas of our body that can turn us on. Like for me, my neck, huge turn on, grabbing it, just a gentle grab, not a rough grab, but like just, you know, a touch of the neck does a lot for me.
Yeah.
But I would not know that unless I've played with it and experienced it on my own.
Yes. What are some of the things that turn you on during your practice?
Ooh, definitely like just moving my hips and like slow sensual movements definitely turn me on more than like fast twerk movements. Twerk feels very performative for me. And then like slow sensual movements feel very like turn on for me. And while you were talking about like ways to use this with a partner, what was coming to my mind is just like, if you are in the middle of foreplay and maybe like you are on top of your partner, you can still move your hips in that slow, seductive way on them. And you're still getting that turn on, but it's not necessarily like you're doing a whole embodiment practice, but you're still utilizing some of the components.
Yes, exactly. And that's why I love pinpointing like, what do I like from my practice? Like what's something that can be substituted? For example, like maybe it's not the actual hip movements itself. Maybe it's the relaxation. So in that case, you can do other things, but maybe it is like the hip movements, the touch, the dancing. Like for me, that is really what turns me on. Like I'm a very sensual, it's always something different. I think I'm very shapeshifter, but sensual has always been my primary. So like really like moving my hips, like grinding with a partner, like having them massage my body is just like, I love that shit. And I love that you differentiated like twerking is more performative, but sensual movement is more turn on. And that's the same for me, like pole dancing, like really sexual slutty dancing. Like it feels so empowering. And that kind of gets me in more of like a turn on headspace later. So I'm not immediately turned on because I feel sweaty and like I'm all, you know, worked up. But that's more of like an empowering, like it feeds my sexual development. But then in the moment, I don't want to be sweaty. I don't want to be fast. I want to be super slow and juicy and feel like a melting chocolate fountain.
Yes, a juicy, all I can think of is like a snail trail, but like, you know, our wet pussies are all over the place. And I find when I do my self-seduction practice, they're like 10 minutes into it, I am so fucking turned on. Like I need to do something because I am so aroused. And is it normal, maybe the first time you do this, to not experience that?
Oh my gosh. I would be surprised if you did one sensual embodiment practice and you were so turned on. Cause like my clients, I mean, I do 6-month contracts and that's like, most people need more than that. That's like a minimum. And so if someone did, if that was the case, if people just did one practice and got turned on, they would not need me for 6 months. Like they would not need to be paying 6 months for high ticket coaching. Like this, it's so normal to feel a little bit of, or a lot of even shame, disgust, unsafety, embarrassment, feeling rigid, feeling like the opposite of turned on. And that's something that you work towards. However, the way that I like to help combat this is I actually focus on purging your body of the shame, the stress, even stored trauma. Like I'm not a trauma therapist, so I don't directly say like, oh, think back to this time, but it's more so like raging, like screaming, punching a pillow. And some of that stuff does get released. And I also focus a lot on the wild woman, which is like your messy, your chaos, your feral. And so what that does is it helps, number one, regulate the nervous system a lot before learning sensual embodiment. And it also helps release some of that shame of like, okay, you already have learned to move like a crazy person. Like you've already felt really feral and really like crazy, you know? And so I find that focusing on the wild woman, the messy, the chaotic, the free energy first really helps the first sensual embodiment practice feel a lot better. I used to not do that, but now that I do it, I get more so neutral responses like, oh, I didn't feel super turned on, but I don't get those hard like shame, disgust responses anymore after doing the wild woman and the stress release first.
Ooh, I love that. And I can totally see how important that would be to go be like feral and wild and punching pillows and just kind of letting all of that out, because once you're able to move like that, you might feel more comfortable moving in a more sexy way.
Oh, yeah. It's like a breath of fresh air because I'm not always like, okay, more, messier. They're like, oh, I get to slow down and just breathe and move my hips. And it feels, yeah, like a relief. Like it feels very chill.
You brought something up earlier I actually wanted to circle back to about body image and body confidence and sexuality and turn on. This is something I've talked about this on the podcast, and I've literally seen it, I think, with majority of my clients, that when we are not feeling empowered about our bodies, when we're not feeling good about our bodies, it directly impacts our sexuality and really puts a damper on our desire for connection to self, but also partnership, and like just has a huge impact on our sex lives.
Yeah, it has a huge impact for sure. So I don't work with a lot of clients who are like, oh my gosh, like I hate my body. Like I feel like shit. They've usually worked through a decent amount of that. And they also feel more confident because they are like taking care of their bodies. And like, I do really think it's not about how you look, but I do think that sometimes people will trash their bodies and not take care of themselves. And they're like, oh, like I'd have a hard time feeling confident. And it's like, well, you're treating your body like shit. You don't have to be like a health and fitness nut. Like I certainly am not, but having that step one of just like caring for yourself, it's not even about achieving a certain physique. It's okay if you want that, but it's about the way that you treat your body. Like that's a huge component that really helps my clients. But something that my clients do struggle with is extreme attachment to their external image. So that does include how much money they make, their business, what they look like. So what they look like, their body is a huge component of that. And so what I actually do is, instead of focusing on, like, I've seen some people where they focus a lot on like mirror work and like looking at your body and accepting it. I do that, you know, a little bit, but it's more so about, what does sexy feel like for you that has nothing to do with the external? And so that really helps, because even though they'll have bad body image days or their skin's breaking out or they have a bad hair day, whatever it is, they can still access what sexy feels like for them, like you said, blindfolded or with their eyes closed, and what that feels like from inside out. And I've noticed that when you are able to access that sexy from the inside, you feel a lot more neutral about your body. So it's not like you have to love, like, oh my gosh, I look so good, I look so hot and sexy. Like right now, I don't feel that great about my body. I'm gaining weight. I'm getting a BBL in February. So I'm getting weight for it. And like, yeah, I don't feel like, oh my gosh, my body looks amazing, but I don't feel any negative thoughts toward it. I just feel like neutral. And there's a lot to be said for that. My body is not the driving force for my sexuality. I can feel neutral about my body as it's going through changes, or if I'm on my period or whatever, and still feel that internal sexy that's not dependent on that. So that has really helped me.
And I think that that is such a beautiful place to get to. And for a lot of people, like, it's a lifelong job to maybe get there. And yeah, it's so beneficial when you can be coming from a more neutral place in regards to your body. Because at the end of the day, like, our body is just, it's just our body. Like, that's it. Like, it really means nothing about who we are. It means nothing about what we are. It means nothing about what we bring to the table or don't bring to the table. Like, literally means nothing about us.
Totally. I mean, I also think, like, being in a state of neutral allows you to, this is a little bit controversial, but like, I personally am someone that, like, I mean, I'm getting a freaking BBL. Like, I do like to look a certain way. I like to get ready. I like to do my hair and makeup. Like, coming from a state of neutrality allows you to still say, like, okay, maybe I do want to go to the gym and hit a certain physique goal. Maybe I do want to get lip fillers or whatever it is that you want to do, but you're getting it from, again, like a place of being already whole, like a place of neutrality. You're not chasing after these things in order to feel good about yourself. You're able to have like this whole juicy, turned on person inside of you, and then you can do whatever you do or don't want to do to your external. And you, it's okay to own that you do have aesthetic goals or that you do want to look a certain way. That's okay, as long as your turn on isn't dependent on that.
I love that differentiation, that it's not dependent on our physical body. And I think that so many women need to hear that, and probably need to hear that often, because sometimes the first time we hear that, it's not going to land, but it is so important. I'm curious how like self-seduction can also be a tool for personal growth and self-discovery and self-love.
Oh my gosh. I feel like, and I'm sure you agree, sexual development is literally number one in my book. And I will always say that there's so many truths. There's so many different ways to get to a certain point, but I have not come across a single form of personal development that's better than sexual development, because my whole thing is nothing can hide. Like, you're literally and physically naked and vulnerable. Like, during, with mindset work, with journaling, even with therapy, you can bullshit yourself a lot. You can lie, you can be in denial. I know, because I did it for so long, like writing my affirmations, like hiding certain things from my therapist, or like not even admitting certain things to myself. And don't get me wrong, that work is so important too, but I love self-seduction, like work around sexuality and pleasure, because you really can't bullshit yourself. You have to get really honest with yourself. Like, you can't get out of your head, you know, good luck having an orgasm, or you can't, are you super stressed and holding on to trauma? Like, then you're not going to be able to progress in this way. So I love that it really brings everything up, but it doesn't feel as confronting as it may sound. Like, yes, you have to get very honest with yourself, but it's a very gentle and accepting form of work at the same time. So I love that it brings up, digs up all your shadows, but then gives you these really fun and delicious tools to work through them. And then I've noticed that my experience with other coaches and with mindset work and journaling and therapy and all of that have actually gotten so much better because of this work, because now I'm not hiding from myself, or I'm not like in denial of X, Y, and Z because I've uncovered it through this work. So basically, in short, I love the way that nothing can hide. I love that it forces you to be super honest with yourself, and then how it's so fun to do things through pleasure. Like, it's the most delicious way to work through things.
It absolutely is the most delicious way to do anything. Like, life in pleasure is so much more fun. Well, and something else that I want to add to that too is that when it comes to our sexual exploration journey, if we are working on that, we're actually working on literally every other aspect of our life at the same time, because it directly plays into our relationships, communication, our empowerment, our self-esteem. It plays into like literally everything. And so it is probably like the least looked at, but the most greatest growth when you take time to look at your sexual exploration.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that everyone should be doing this. And I think we're going there slowly, but I do think that we're headed that way where it's a more widely accepted form of personal development. Because I think saying that to someone who's never experienced it, they're like, okay, so you just have sex and then you grow. Like, what are you talking about, you weirdos? But once you start doing it, you really understand the just how much impact it has on your life.
And 99% of it has nothing to do with sex with others. It is maybe solo sex, but even at that, like, it doesn't always have anything to do with any type of sex.
Yeah. Or even sometimes self-pleasure. Like, sometimes, it is self-pleasure, but also like, it's so much more than the definition of like touching your clit and having an orgasm is what I'm trying to say. Like, it's your full body, like learning how you want to be touched, learning how you want to feel safe, like even learning just how to just be in your sexual energy through movement. Like, it's learning who you are at your core, like in your most authentic state. And I think that is so powerful.
It is. It is so juicy. So how do relationships also benefit from you doing more self-seduction?
Oh my gosh. So self-seduction is, I think it's the best way to get into your feminine energy. Like, you can, you know, paint or go outside or rest and relax. Like, all that stuff is amazing, but it hits every single aspect of feminine energy: being embodied in love, desire, creativity, surrender, intuition, pleasure, like every single thing that it means to be in your feminine energy. Like, that is all hit during sensual embodiment. And so a lot of my clients are, and I'm sure a lot of yours too, are super busy, right? They're boss women. They're building the lives that they want. However, we've seen through the way that a lot of women's hormones are responding, we're not made to be in this state of being stressed the fuck out all the time. Like, we're built different, right? Like, men are more built for, you know, being on constant, like, I mean, they still need time off, but you get what I'm saying. Women aren't built to fit the same work structure that men are. A lot of the times, a lot of my clients will have a hard time stepping out of that role of like always doing. And sometimes, a lot of times, their partners will want them to, like, they'll want to lead, they'll want to take care of them, but they simply cannot receive it. Like, they have such a hard time surrendering and receiving it, whether that's an act of service, whether it is receiving pleasure in the bedroom, whether it's being taken care of in whatever way. And so the more that they allow themselves to relax into their feminine and this state of intuition and surrender, the more that becomes a natural state for them. So it's a lot easier for them to relax into their feminine in their relationships. And it's not that they have to be in their feminine all the time, but it's that they know how to access that energy whenever they want to or desire to.
Yes. And it's a balance. Like, we can talk forever about feminine and masculine, because that's definitely an area that I have done a lot of self-exploration in, because my feminine used to be very distant from me. And so learning how to turn on my feminine more often has become a very important part of my life. I'm curious, you have a bomb-ass playlist for self-seduction that I definitely utilize, but what is your favorite song for self-seduction?
Oh my gosh. Right now, I feel like I have it. I love Tank. Okay, so anything by Tank and Janae Aiko, that is my shit. I love some Chris Brown. I love some Trey Songz sometimes. But I think right now, oh my gosh, what's my recent? The song Dirty by Tank has been on replay.
Ooh, I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's my current hyperfixation song. Also, Body Party, that one's also a vibe.
Ooh. One of my favorites is To Dao by Misago and FKJ.
Oh my God.
Have you not heard this one?
I haven't heard it. I was like, I want to listen to me.
Doing so right now. It is so, so good. It has like no words, but it's just like, it's so fucking sexy. But that's probably one of my favorite. And also Sex You by Bando Jones.
That's a favorite. I love it. Are you more of like a lyrics person or a beat person or just depends or a vibe person? Like what does it for you?
It's a vibe. I think it's the vibe. It's a combination of all of it. Sometimes I want words. Sometimes I don't. It just depends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So fucking juicy. Well, thank you for sharing all about self-seduction with us. I think this is such an important conversation to have and something to utilize in our lives. You do a workshop on self-seduction. Is that correct?
I did a workshop. Yes. I don't know if I'll be doing another one soon, but I actually did just create a freebie where I haven't put it out yet, but it's a 20-minute video of a practice that you can start implementing every day. And we incorporate all of the aspects that I talked about, the breath, the sound, the movement, the touch. And it's just a little quickie embodiment practice that you can start implementing. Ooh.
What does pleasure mean to you?
Ooh, pleasure to me means aliveness. So anything that can be sexual aliveness, but that can also be like pleasure in your life. Maybe it's eating a really juicy piece of fruit, or maybe it's like driving at midnight with the windows down and blasting music. So anything that makes you feel alive is pleasure to me. Or also like the word ecstasy is coming up. Like anything that makes you feel like alive or just full of like that ecstasy or like the nectar of life.
That's so fucking juicy. I love that. I love that definition. Where can the listeners find you at?
Instagram is a great place to find me. I also have in my bio, I have a Facebook group that I post in several times a week. I also do live embodiment practices in there. So that would be a good place to start.
I didn't even know this.
Oh my gosh, come join.
I'm absolutely going to. And then I would also love to share your link for your new freebie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, thank you for chatting with me, and I appreciate your time. This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life or feel like you're having good sex but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner. If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Donnell, go to coaching.jordandonnell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again and see you next episode.